works. LSD, what exactly does it do to us and how?
Well, we understand what LSD does in a normal dose. So when people are having a psychedelic experience from LSD, it's turning off a part of the brain called the default mode network, which is a bit like the conductor of the brain. And in doing so, it creates, leads to increased connectivity between different parts of the brain that wouldn't normally crosstalk. And it's been hypothesized that it's associated with the creativity and spiritual experiences that some people have under that psychedelic dose. In terms of microdosing, we actually don't really know what's going on, and that's why this research that the Beckley Institute is doing is so important.
Well, we know recreationally LSD's been around since at least the 60s, but medically, how long has this idea of using it in some way medically been around?
It's actually been around before it was used recreationally.
Wow.
So prior to the hippie counterculture movement, people were using LSD in the context of psychotherapy to treat alcohol dependence, anxiety disorders, and particularly end-stage cancer and the anxiety and depression that comes with that.
Can you tell us a little bit about how this study will work, what we know of this study and how it will work?
So at the moment, there's a lot of anecdotal evidence regarding microdosing. So there's whole subreddits where there's thousands, tens of thousands of people anecdotally reporting on their experiences. Most of them positive, some people reporting some negative effects such as anxiety when they're microdosing. The problem is we don't really know whether what they're experiencing is the placebo or the nocebo effect, so a mental effect associated with taking the drug, or whether it's actually associated with pharmacological properties associated with the drug. So even research that I'm involved in at the moment in Australia is just survey-based research questioning people who have engaged in microdosing and comparing those with people who have engaged in yoga and a control condition. And the preliminary data from that indicates that people who are microdosing do tend to be more open in terms of their personality. They are more present focused, probably comparable with yoga, but that still doesn't unpack whether it's due to the placebo associated with the microdosing or the actual pharmacological properties of the drug. So what they're doing in this study is having a double-blind, randomized controlled trial to separate out what's placebo and what's actual pharmacological properties associated with the microdose.
One of the troubling aspects, I think, of how this study is going to go is that given LSD is illegal, researchers are inviting only those who already microdose to join in. Do you think this is likely to affect the results of the study?
It could create a selection bias and a confirmatory bias, but I guess it highlights the limitations in the regulatory framework in which researchers are working at the moment. It's very difficult to administer a healthy adult volunteer an illegal drug, despite the fact that we know that psychedelic drugs, the classic psychedelics at least, are not associated with any particularly adverse effects when administered to healthy volunteers. It becomes very difficult to administer those drugs because of the ethics and regulation around it.
Is there difficulty also finding the right dosage?
Well, I think we actually have a pretty good idea of what the right dosage would be. So it's usually about a tenth of the dose. So for LSD, that would be 10 micrograms, maybe 15 micrograms of LSD. If the person was using psilocybin mushrooms, maybe 100 milligrams. But it would be better if we were able to provide the dose and have more control over the study. Obviously, the more control you have over a study, the more rigor you have, the more certain we can be about what's going on. But I think this is really early days. There's only been two studies conducted so far. The study I'm involved in is actually the third, and this study will be the fourth and the most rigorous conducted to date.
And just looking at the potential outcomes of this study, say we find LSD does have these supposed benefits that proponents of microdosing claim it does have, does that mean we're likely to see any kind of turnaround in drug policy? I mean, we've heard a great deal of studies about the use of medical marijuana or THC in general, and still there's a huge uphill battle around policy surrounding that. So LSD, given it might be to some policymakers even a little bit more frightening than marijuana, are we likely to see any resulting changes in policy?
I don't think this study will do that. However, there is research underway in the US at the moment, 6 phase 2 randomized clinical trials of MDMA, aka ecstasy, have been conducted, and the organisation that's been running those trials has now stepped up to phase three international multi-site studies, and they're on track to have MDMA approved as by the FDA by 2021. We're unlikely to see that flow-on effect here in Australia, but it does indicate that there's an appetite overseas to reschedule some of these drugs as medicines. I think with MDMA, it's a bit different than microdosing. With MDMA, it's done in the context of psychotherapy. The person doesn't take the dose home. With cannabis, medical cannabis, the person actually takes the drug home. So the FDA sees MDMA as a therapy probably as much safer than giving people cannabis to take home. I think microdosing is a bit like that medicinal cannabis. It's going to be a bit more difficult to argue the safety to take the drug home with the person to be able to actually do the microdosing.
Well, it does sound like a fascinating little experiment. Steve, thank you very much. Really do appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
That was Dr. Stephen Bright, Senior Lecturer of Addiction at Edith Cowan University, speaking to us about a new study investigating the effects of microdosing LSD. You know, you've got proponents